Hello out there and welcome. My name is Sharon Froschen. I am the Chief Operating Officer of the Discover Your Path You platform, where we believe that every life can teach and everyone can grow. To that end, I'm also the host of this show, The Connection Sessions, where we bring together practitioners, entrepreneurs, marketers, artists, spiritualists, mentors, and students in an effort to connect to community, learn from each other, and grow. Today, guys, super excited to have Andrush on the show with me again, who is here today to talk with us about what is intuition and how can we enhance that both in our professional and our personal life. So, Anne, if you wouldn't mind just sharing with the audience, because I know we kind of get all caught up in this idea that intuition is this woo-woo thing that really doesn't have any, you know, boundaries or parameters. Would you share with the audience what intuition is and why it's so valuable in our everyday life?
We, you know, I see it as a natural part of us. I think we're born intuitive, and you've only got to watch animals. And if you've got a dog or a cat, they won't like certain people. And I will guarantee that person is not a nice person. If the dog, you always say, if the dog don't like you, I don't like you. I'm going to get away from this stuff. So it's a natural part of us. And if you were to stick us in the jungle, after a few weeks, well, it's 2 weeks, It's actually 2 weeks. And the army discovered this. After 2 weeks, that primitive part of you starts to kick in. Well, it doesn't work that brilliantly well in our everyday life because we're not in survival mode. If ever you're having a really, really, really bad time or life's fallen apart, your instincts start to, you notice things other people don't. You have this awareness, your brain works in a different way. And that's our intuition kicking in. Of course, water comes out the tap. You know, we're not facing droughts, we hope. There's food in the supermarket. We're not, you know, we moan and say we're having it hard. But compared to our ancestors, it's a different ballgame. So, you know, our natives would call it the old man in their head, and they listen to their dreams. And they would have that, they would know when a warring tribe's coming toward them. Now, the British Army, and I think the American Army do the same, they have something they call jungle consciousness. And what they do is they get their soldiers and they stick them in the jungle for 2 weeks, and they've got to manage, they've got to survive. They've been criticised for that. People say it's too hard. You give them nothing, you bung them in the jungle. Now, my mate Dave, you'd like my mate Dave, he said when they bung you in the jungle, he said it's a really noisy place. It is so noisy. But after 2 weeks, you notice one noise, and that's the danger. I'm getting goosebumps, I tell you. You hear that one thing coming towards you, and there's just that one thing. Everything else, your brain filters adjust and they give you the one thing you need. They actually teach, the SAS in the UK, they actually teach if the army are coming towards you, don't look because they will feel it. Now that's now backed up by Rupert Sheldrake, who said the sense of being stared at, and he did some amazing studies. Yes. Put somebody in a room, one-way mirror, and they write down any time they write down the time they think anybody's looking at them, and it matches up. They know when they're. You do, don't you? Stand there, you go, you feel it.
You do.
Have you ever done that thing where you sit in a cafe and you think, I'm going to make that person look at me. I knew you had. Make them look at me, and you'd send. You like, you got lasers coming out your eyes, the back of your head. Yeah. And they do suddenly look round, don't they?
Yeah.
So we've all got this. We've all got this in us, but I think it's a bit dormant today. And I had to work. Mine wasn't natural. I had to work at my intuition. Now, if you do something naturally, you usually don't know how you do it. So the benefit to me having to go and find out how this works was I sussed out a lot about the process, and a lot of it is the process. So my nan was a psychic. She used to read the tea leaves in the East End of London. And I knew it worked, and I knew she was accurate because I was nosy and I'd listen, and people had come back. It's a great job for a nosy person, isn't it?
Yeah,
psychic. You know everything that's going on. I'd listen, and so I'd try and be psychic, and nothing would happen. Just nothing would happen. So I actually set off and spent, and I still do it today, constantly study how intuition works. How does it work? What is the process? What is it? And when I talk to people, they expect it to be some big dramatic thing. They right. they think that we're going to go, oh, don't go that way, don't go on the motorway today. But it isn't like that. It's subtle. Yeah. Stuart Wild used to say that. He said it's subtle. I find my intuition, one of my best intuitions, is when I hesitate.
Yeah.
When I hesitate and I'm dithering, it's usually a sign not to do something. Or if I keep hesitating, it's usually a sign saying don't do it. And it's very rare, but when I dither, or I'm just kind of keep going, so you can have somebody come along and go, I've got the deal of a lifetime. You trust the person, you know them, got a deal, and you go, now, other times you dive in and everyone's going all big, and you go, no, it's all right, I know. Now, people at the top use their intuition more. That's conclusively proven through numerous studies over a great many years. People at the top use their intuition far more. The wow. people lower down, they use facts and figures, and they get stuck. So if people who are less successful don't use their intuition, people at the top use it. And you listen, most of the big names will talk about intuition. Most of the big names will mention that was a gut feeling, I just knew to do that. Even financiers, bankers, people you would never expect to that be very logic-based, really rely on their intuition. And what I want to know is, okay, your intuition, you're a big shot business person, what was that? You know, is it a thought in your head? See, we don't analyse it, do we? So I've been, over the last few years, analysing it. What is it? And because people haven't thought about it, and they'll go, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
What triggered that? This is going back a lot of years, probably about 1980. A young guy came to see me and he said, I want to watch you work. I want to study you. And he was quite cocky and he said no, but I was curious. So he came along and I just did somebody a reading. And he said, when you're about to make a really strong prediction, you make a fist and you touch your stomach. I don't. He said, you make a fist and you touch your stomach. I went, I don't. I had no idea that I did that. Wow. But I noticed afterwards he was right. That's like, yeah, I know it. You know, I just really know it. So what is our process? Now, one of the things I've been studying is the submodalities. Now,
Oh, I love those.
Imagine what I've done for my new book. Don't tell anyone.
Okay.
For my new book, I've broken down the submodalities of intuition. Nobody's done that before. I know, it's cool, isn't it?
Oh my God.
I know, it's so cool. So think of a time you've been really, really intuitive and you just knew it and you went for it. Can you think of a time?
Yes.
Right. What's the picture in your head? And you will have a picture in your head, is it? Big? Is it small?
I'm more kinesthetic. It's always if you were to think of adding barometric pressure to a sphere so that there's a sphere that's really, really compressed, it's always in my right side above my stomach.
Isn't that funny? I interviewed a soldier, and when he knows things, it's like a tight band around his head. So that's when you know. Your process. So when you've got it wrong, think of a time and you go, Jesus, why did I do that? You know, why did I get messed up? It's in your head. So that's when it's in your head. Oh, that's interesting. So when you're right, it goes more body and to a specific part of your body. And when you're wrong, thinking. So that's probably, because I've also been studying the three brains and that.
Yes.
Away.
And the gut is the seat of intuition. So when you said, when he said that you tightened your fist and put it over your gut, that like completely corresponds with embraining, with the three brains.
I really love embraining. In fact, I interviewed the founders for my new book. I absolutely love it. And I love them too. I've spoken to them, Grant particularly.
Yeah.
They've been so supportive. I absolutely really want to train with them guys. I really, really, really want to train with them because embraining, I actually got stuck writing the book. I've got 10 chapters, 10 different big protocols to write. And it really, I overstretched myself. Luckily, it's come together, but I really thought I'm out my depth halfway through that book. I got stuck on embraining. I got stuck because I just,
easy.
I, I could go over there and pull out three books, you know, and I've got the workbook and I've got it on my Kindle and I've got the other book and I've just got all their material and I'm just like absorbing it. I couldn't put it down. But yes, one of the things I find, okay, so we've got our head, which we can be intuitive with our head, mm-hmm. we can be intuitive with our heart and with our gut. I'm very gut-based, I'm very, very gut-based. Yeah, I thought you might be. So we're quite feisty, aren't we? And we're quite feisty and we get out there. Most therapists are heart-centered.
Yeah.
And it's quite interesting. So their intuition will trigger, rather listen to their intuition, they'll be listening to their heart and they feel sorry for everybody. So if somebody's out to rip them off, they're going to be really easy to rip off. Oh, I just want to be nice to everybody and I want to help everybody and da-da-da. But the trouble with being heart-centered, you're not using your head to make a plan and you're not taking action. So gut makes you take action. So there's some amazing therapists out there. They're really kind to everybody. They've got no money and their career isn't progressing. They can't understand why. So I make them go through the process of using all three brains. And that's one of the things I worked on. You've got to use all three. What is your head brain telling you? What is your gut brain? What's the gut brain? What steps is it telling you to take using all three? So some modalities, yeah, I break it down more and more. And another thing that I think you'll love, a guy was really skeptical of dowsers. He went, oh, it's just nonsense. So he studied them and found they were pretty accurate. In fact, they were really, really accurate. Yeah. So he came up with this theory that the glands in the body are somehow like antennas. So yes. He got some sort of very fine gossamer-like like metal, the sort of thing you'd see like fine chainmail, like in Lord of the Rings. And he covered various parts, pituitary gland, I think it was, thyroid. I think there was three glands he covered, and they couldn't douse. They could, their rate of success really dropped.
Wow.
I know, it's amazing.
That's fascinating. You know who I think you would really love is our CFO. Sarah Whalen is an incredible shaman, and she's also a remote viewer. Her capacity for mind reading and for viewing things remotely is insane. And she's also an M-brain trainer. Like I would absolutely adore her. She's got that, like I actually spent almost 2 weeks with her and I had an experience where she literally plucked the words right out of my head from across the house.
Wow.
She's just incredible that way with intuition. Incredible. And I love that kind of stuff. And I really genuinely do believe that intuition is really a function of the body. It's not a function of the mind. And a lot of the reason for why we as a society don't actually function in our intuition like we could is because we have been taught that thought is self. So in other words, if I hear a thought, that's me. And so we spend so much time up here that we ignore the autonomic nervous system, which is that antenna that's constantly out like a snake's tongue, testing the barometric pressure. What does the air taste like? How hot is it? Are there people around me? And then we lose that sense of intuition.
Yeah, we do. And I think, you know, I think every cell is intuitive, which is why we get goosebumps. That's why we suddenly get that tingle, or we suddenly go, oh, I better be careful here. I don't want my back to these people. It's in every cell. So it's fascinating when you start finding out the processes. And this is what I love doing and watching people. What I find is people say they're not intuitive. And then they'll come up with something that blows you away.
Right?
They don't know. They've just said something intuitive.
Yes. And one of the things that I love specializing on, so I created this entire series of workshops for Discover Your Path U called The Deep Dive. And what The Deep Dive does is it takes questions that elicit an emotional response from someone. It's recorded. And then we watch it first with just the video, then with just the audio, then audio and video. And the fourth week, we actually bring in the person. So by taking notes and paying attention, you then get to ask the person in the fourth week, was this true? Was this not true? And by doing that, we get to go back and, okay, so when I wrote that down, where was the feeling in my body? And that's how that's literally how you identify your own process and intuition, correct?
Absolutely. Do you know, George Soros, probably the world's greatest financier in his time, said that when there's a problem, he gets a pain. He said, and I mean, you just don't expect somebody like George Soros to listen to that.
Right.
He said, I get a physical pain. He said, and I'm just about to do a deal. He said, there's always a problem and I don't move until I found it. So I go through all the paper, I think, until I find it. He said, I wish I could fine tune it more so that if it's a problem with commodities, it'll be a big toe hurt. And he said, I haven't managed to do that. But he has got that, which I thought was really interesting for somebody like him to come out with. You just wouldn't expect it.
You absolutely wouldn't. But man, that's fascinating.
It's really amazing stuff. And it's because I wasn't naturally intuitive. I've really, really constantly tried to think what's going on here, watching other people, watching myself. And I think one of the things what I like to do, and very much Stuart Wilde, bring it into your everyday life. You know, we can't sit on top of a mountain for 6 weeks and wait for inspiration. So my first book was called Instant Intuition because I'm really impatient. So I just want a quick answer. Isn't patience overrated? I mean, you know, spiritual people always tell you to be patient. Oh, I haven't got any patience. So life's busy. We need answers. So I like that instant intuition. So the right thing to do, I think, is practice it. Just I'll meet his son so a bit later. I bet they're wearing a blue coat. Just build a picture in your image in your mind. Yeah. Meet a friend of mine for breakfast tomorrow, Antoinette. I'm meeting her for breakfast. So I'm meeting her at this nice little cafe called Strawberry Grove. What will she be wearing? Just on the way there. Just sometimes you think, I'll go a different way. You know, you haven't really got, you don't always find out the answer. You don't always think, oh, I heard later the road was blocked from a crash or something. You don't always know.
Yeah.
But still, just keep using that. Just keep using it. Get a feeling of who's going to call you that day, what emails are going to come up. And do you know what somebody said to me, which I found interesting? They said, if I can't see it, it won't happen. And I went, bingo, I've got exactly the same. If I can't see it, it ain't going to happen. If I see it, it's going to happen and I will really stand by what I see. You know, people argue with me and go, no, I don't think that will go. No, it's going to happen. It will absolutely, one at the moment, Brexit, it will happen. I've been saying that for years. I don't even bother reading the news. We are coming out the EU. Everyone's going, oh, it won't, no, it won't going to happen. I've said it all along because I see it. I see it's not there. I just know it. I don't care about the politics. Don't care about the logic. And people go, oh, yes, but there's this new clock. I don't care about the detail. That don't make any sense.
Same way. And I think a lot of it is that people, that this idea that I think, therefore I am. No, thinking and amming are two completely different things.
Yeah.
You are because your blood pumps and your lungs breathe and your food digests. You think. Therefore, you're anxious. They're two completely different things. And because we have been taught as a society that to think is to exist, we no longer associate with the body, which actually isn't, we're not separate from each other. Like, we are as dependent upon our environment and the other selves in our environment as we are upon ourselves. And because we've like made this pyramid of importance in nature where man's up here, we've literally separated ourselves from all of the ability that we have to experience and to sense, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's really interesting. My spiritual teacher, and this was a long time ago, people used to think she was wacky. She'd go to the supermarket and she'd just run her hands over the food and go, that's not for me. She'd get her pendulum out. Of course, back then, people thought that people probably wouldn't take too much notice today, but they certainly thought she was odd back then. But she really taught me that if you stop, you can really feel if something's going to work for you or not. And it's, you know, if I've ever been given medication, there's times I've gone, whoa, no, I'm not having that. Other times you just go, no, that I need that. You know, if you stop, you know. But of course, we're brought up, oh, I've got to listen to, if the doctor tells you to paint your head blue, you paint your head blue and just do what they say. But when we stop, we can, usually when I see, say, a good kinesiologist, and they'll say, this is what you need. That's what I'm already bought. I can walk in the health food shop and go, that's what I need. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Our bodies tell us. I mean, if I crave fruit, I'm low in vitamin C. And I'm going to get a cold if I don't take a ton of vitamin C. We don't stop and listen. We meet somebody. And I had this years ago. I met somebody. that in my social circle, I felt like putting my hand up and backing away. Good fun girl, she's lovely. Oh, life and soul of the party. Oh, such fun. But bit by bit, she made everybody turn on everybody else. Yeah. And I just felt I wanted to step back. Now, logically, there was nothing. She was really good fun. She was a fabulous girl, really good. But bit by bit, then she tried to get everybody to turn on one person, so that person's ostracized. Then she got in between them two. We should have been stronger as a group of friends not to let her get in the way. But I just started to not go. You know, what she did was, we've all got to go to her house for the barbecue. And I just started to kind of back off. But we don't always do that. And we get caught up. So say somebody comes along, they go, got this great business deal, and you've heard they've done well in the past, and they've done well in the past, it's great, they really like you, and you got that niggle, but you need an opportunity. So this is where it gets conflicting, doesn't it? What do I do? So there's your head saying to you, you need that money, you know, you got bills to pay, you need this business, everything else has gone wrong, and there's this part of you. See, what Stuart Wild used to teach is don't buy into the fear.
Yeah.
Listen to your instincts, don't buy into the fear.
And it's interesting that it's the attachment to what has already happened or the attachment to what will happen that pulls us out of this present moment where you cannot think about right now. Right now just has to be experienced. You can think about that right now that just happened and then you're just analyzing, or you can try and predict the future, but we keep pulling ourselves out of the present moment. And as we do that, we pull ourselves out of the ability to just experience and exist rather than think, because past and future are both mental constructs.
Yeah. I find that if I step out, sometimes I pretend I step out of myself. And by stepping out, you kind of leave the emotion in you and you step out and you kind of got this different view. And I've got some of my clients to do it sometimes. Imagine you're looking as an outsider. And all of a sudden they've got this clear view. They're not caught up in the emotions of the situation. They suddenly go, whoa, why was I even thinking of doing that? Why would I even go down that road? Stepping out, getting out of that emotional stuff. We're way too emotional. The other thing I've learned to do, because we've all done it, we agreed to something and wish we hadn't. And somebody catches us, don't they, at that moment and go, would you come along next Saturday? And you can't think of an excuse, you know. I've learned to say, let me just check a couple of things, I'll get back to you. And then I've got time to go and stop and go, how does that feel? Does that feel right?
Yeah.
You know, and then I can get back to them. But as I say, usually if I hesitate, then don't do it.
Yeah. And we don't listen. As a society, we discount the body. You can even hear it in like our social, and I'm as guilty of this as anybody else, where we completely downplay the function of the body and the virility of the body and the strength of the body, and totally upplay, oh, the mind's so powerful, not really taking into account that from the mind comes anxiety, comes neurosis, comes all of those things that involve spinning out of control. Yeah. And we completely discount. And for honestly, for a secondary organ, the brain is secondary.
Yes. Yeah. Well, do you know, I'm smiling because I know I haven't told anybody this, but one of the chapters is called Your Body Knows.
Yes.
Because your body knows, it's all in your body, and you feel that, you know, there's so many changes. Your heart can beat faster. You can feel nervous. You can feel uncomfortable, clenching in your stomach. There's even your stance changes. You know, I know I start to walk awkwardly and I feel all stiff when it's not right. Yeah. And when I'm, you know, when it's good, I just relax and I walk better. So the body has so many signals, but we're too busy and too caught up here to notice. But when we stop and just go, I'm not feeling good around this. This doesn't feel right. And we stop. That's when we really know. That's when it really happens. But I think the everyday intuition is one I particularly love. Get into the habit of using your intuition on a daily basis. Do you know what I mean? I just think if we, you know, rather than we all sit there when we need some big answer, but make it a natural part of us. And it really is, by using it every day, we're not using it for big stuff so much. We're doing it for the little things, like which line to get in at the supermarket or whatever. You know, who should I call up? Who pops into your head? I pretend I've got a little album and I'm flicking through it and it'll stop and then I'll see somebody's face and go, that's the person I need to call up. You know, just, yeah, the album is really cool. Yeah, just, or I need some help with something. Who's the one to help me? Stop. What face comes to me? Then, and somebody will be there that I know. It's really cool. Yeah, it's really clever. You just getting that little image in your head. But that's the thing with doing it every day. Just get into the habit of using our feelings every day. One of the things I love to do, you're with somebody, pick up their pen.
Just feel it.
Yeah. What does that tell you? The bank manager, get a feel of his pen. You know, whoever you're dealing with. When we shake hands, I wonder if that was originally tapping into somebody's energy.
Exactly. That kind of stuff just fascinates me because I think about, you know, like the Tower of Babel story in the Bible, how we were all trying to get to God and then our languages were divided. And there's a part of me that honestly believes that it wasn't that languages were divided. It was that language was given, because at some point I believe we all intuitively communicated with each other on a telepathic level. And then as soon as you introduce language, the openness of experience that comes with telepathy, it comes down to this idea that a noun, which is not, it's something that's, you know, stays still, can somehow generate action, or a verb, which makes logical sense but because we've been programmed by language, we're half the size of what we were potentially at one time.
Yeah, because words are not going to convey the feeling, energy. It's not going to convey the energy of it, you know. Words get twisted and we're taught to say things in a certain way rather than how we would put it across. So yeah, absolutely. And I think the vibration of somebody else, when we stop, we don't do that enough. I use something I developed for my first book, Etheric Energy Technique, where I imagine a little bit of my aura going over and just pressing it on the person. And it's quite interesting. I mean, just recently I did it with somebody that was just being such an arse, and I put it on there and they were shaking. I could feel them shaking.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, you're terrified. What is it? And I just knew, I didn't find out what it was, but I knew they were incredibly upset about something that was going on in their life.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's why you're being so awful to people and abrupt and rude and everything else.
Yep. Well, my love, our half hour is over. I would like to take a moment to recognize some of our viewers, Karen, Stephen, Andrea, who's our chief spiritual officer and was super excited to see you, Susan, Stephanie, Monique, Vicky, Allison. Thank you everyone for dropping in and joining us. And I mean, of course, who wouldn't want to hear Anne talk? She's just absolutely fabulous.
Thank you so much. That's very kind of you.
If you come by and you catch this video after we're no longer live, drop us a hashtag replay. Let us know that we were here and that you were here. And if you're interested in finding out more about your intuition, go out and grab one of Anne's books, or all of her contact information is available in this live. Check her out, stalk her a little bit, which is what I did. Find out a little bit more about her and how you can start to use your intuition in both a professional and a personal sense, because Lord knows this is our birthright as human beings. This wisdom of the body is our birthright, and coming back to it is where success truly lies. So Anne, thank you so much again for being with me here today. I always love talking to you. You're just a font of wisdom. And guys, you know, I love you, and we'll be back here tomorrow. Same place, same time. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Thank you.